Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers in here. We're thankful for you. As we open up and continue on in our study of godliness and how we can grow and be more godly in our devotion to God as well as our character, those things are together. When we talk about godliness, we've talked about that extensively the last few weeks, is godliness is not just having certain character qualities, working on being more patient or gentle or having more joy. It is having a God-centered devotion and focus in all of our lives. We've talked a lot about the definitions, which is, Jerry Bridges gives one, devotion to God, which results in a life that's pleasing to Him. So that's an all-encompassing definition we've talked about quite a bit. And so we're going to continue on. Well, how do we grow in our devotion to God and in our understanding of His character and what of His character He expects us to reflect to the world? So we were talking about the role of the Word, which is huge, right? So on your handout, there are extra handouts in the back if you forgot yours or you weren't here for the last week. Made it all the way to page 2. No, wait. No, we made it to page 3. We're on page 3. We're moving right along in this handout. So we are on page 3. The first point, as we talked about how we grow in godliness, is we have to be, as Paul told Timothy, you have to nourish yourself on the words of the faith and the sound doctrine. So that comes from the Word. So we talked about the first point there, top of page 3, was we must hear the Word. And that's, we read those scriptures. So I want to read those scriptures and we'll talk about those questions 11, 12, and 13 here in just a moment. So let's read Revelation 1:3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. And then we had the kind of the negative example in Ezekiel. God's telling Ezekiel, as for you, son of man, your people will talk together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, say to one another, each to his brother, come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. And they come to you as people come and sit before you as my people, and they hear what you say, but they will not do it. For with lustful talk in their mouths they act, their heart is set on their gain. So in scripture, I can put a whole a lot more scriptures there, but we know we must hear the word. So how do we do that?
One is Sunday service.
Yeah.
Hear the preaching of the word.
Yeah, we hear Pastor Dave exposit the word for us every Sunday. And that is part of the primary way that we are hearing the word. We can do other things, like listen to somebody read the word. So why is that important for us to do?
Are you making a distinction between hearing it and reading it?
Like, yes.
So there's needs to be an audible.
I think there is. I think there's a way. This is one of the big reasons why God commands us to be part of the local church, right? We're to be gathering together, and a big part of that is to hear the word of God. So, we will talk about reading and studying and meditating, all those things in a moment. But yeah, we are to hear the word of God taught. And one of the reasons is because how many of you have a career that takes up a majority of your time in a given day? So there is, God gifts certain men with the gift of studying the scriptures, understanding, and then preaching to us, right? So we need those men. They are for our building up. We come to church on Sundays to worship the Lord and to hear the word of God taught. So Pastor Dave is gifted in that. He devotes a lot of his time during a week to studying the scriptures, to know context, to studying the original languages, and he preaches that to us. And we need that. That is something that we need to do. We come to hear the Word of God. And I think this is one of the ones that I tend to not focus on. One of the main purposes of us gathering together is to hear the Word of God. Yes, we love to come together. We are a spiritual family. We love to spend time together, to talk with one another, to encourage one another. We love those things, and that's a great blessing of being in the local church. Vital. But we must not approach this hearing of the Word flippantly. So how could we, so skipping to 13, what's the wrong way to go into at 10:15 when we go into that service, what's the wrong way to hear the Word?
One would be with a critical heart, with the idea of wanting to pick apart what the pastor says.
Yeah. Let me find holes in his theology and see if he delivers this message the right way. Yeah, to be a critical heart, to have a critical spirit or a critical mind about the way the service goes or the words that Pastor Dave uses or the illustrations. That there's a criticalness that we can bring that would be wrong, be a wrong way to do it. What else?
Just listening. I mean, in one ear and out the other is the saying, but hearing it and not letting it. Not actually realizing what you are to take action on.
Yeah. Is the way you hear the Word of God different than the way that you watch a movie? It should be, right? It should be. There, if we are coming in to hear the Word of God, we're hearing the sermon, and I leave the doors and I never think about it again. Or I don't even remember what he said. That would be the wrong way. That's kind of what the people of Israel were doing in Ezekiel. They're coming to hear. Yeah, let's go. They might even have been excited. So hear the word of the Lord. But they went to hear, not to do it, not to remember it, not to apply it. So it was like an entertainment for them. And so when we come into church, when we come to the sermon, and we hear the Word of God preached, what are we doing with it? Both in the moment and also as we're leaving. There should be a different kind of attentiveness. We're not passive. We need to be actively listening. This is the Word of the God of the universe. And He brought each of us here this morning to hear the sermon that we're about to hear. It's a sobering thought, and we should approach the hearing of the Word of God with seriousness and an honor that is due to God's Word, because it's His Word. Any other thoughts?
This is kind of all tied together. So we're supposed to be in community. Preaching the Word is a big one, the main thing that brings us into community. Mm-hmm. And then we exhort, encourage each other off that preaching of the Word.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember it'd been years ago, I go to the conferences, one guy was going to preach on Psalm 119. Mm-hmm. And the majority of it was reading Psalm 119, just the Word itself, flushed out and read for the whole, just the speaking of the Word, nourishing the heart. All that listen to it.
Yeah.
By the end of it, you say, whoa, wow. So I just was reminded, just preaching the Word, but just reading the Word.
Yeah.
Edify the body.
Yeah. Just hearing the Word read. And over how David says, I love your Word. I love your laws. I love your statutes. Your commandments give life. Like this over and over and over again. Yeah.
Yeah, we mentioned not to be critical. There's a balance to that, to not be undiscerning when you're hearing the Word, but to, that's like one of the verses you put here, the Acts 17, the Bereans, who received the Word with eagerness, but also examined the Scriptures to see if those things were so.
Right.
So do not be critical, but don't also be undiscerning.
Yeah, and so like the critical that we ought to be, that's a good distinction to make, because what Joe's talking about is like being like, I'm the judge of whether this is a good sermon or not. And I will decide if this is, you know, if this is effective or worth my time or to consider. That's a proud, sinful criticalness. But what Miles is saying, yeah, we do need to hear the scriptures, hear the sermons, and we need to evaluate it in light of scripture. And there's a humbleness to that. There's a humility of looking at the scriptures, making sure I'm understanding these things, and loving the word of God and treating it as really important. It's really important that I understand scripture rightly. So yeah, that's a good point, good distinction to make.
I think there's an intentionality there too, where you need to prepare your heart even before you get to church. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes the hustle and bustle of just getting to church kind of interferes with your receiving the word.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
More so for you younger ones, but it helps as well.
We remember.
Yeah. Yep. Mother's Day. Yeah. Lots of children things to do in the morning, isn't it? So, yeah, intentionality to prepare our hearts to come and hear the word with attentiveness, limiting distractions as much as we are able. There'll be implications for that. You know, for us young parents, how can we train our children and get some things done and planned and prepared ahead of time, early in the week, so that Sunday morning there's less likely to be crises everywhere. You know, are we preparing and talking to our children? Hey, on Sunday mornings, we need to have an orderly morning because we're going to hear the word of God. And this is not a time for you to be dancing on the table at breakfast and doing all, like, there's all these kinds of things that we can start to do to train and help prepare early in the week so that that makes it more, it makes it easier for us to come into church ready to hear the word, ready to minister and serve and love people, versus, you know, every Sunday it's just barely getting to church and things. Now sometimes it's just going to happen, I know, but as much as we're able, intentionally planning ahead of time, training, preparing ourselves. Are the clothes laid out the day before? Do we know what we're going to have for breakfast so we're not scrambling? Are there alarms set? All those things. There's a lot of practical, really easy things to do. And also, are preparing my heart, praying, reading scripture, coming, knowing I'm about to come into church with my brothers and sisters in Christ to worship Him and to hear His word preached. So there's a lot of really, I think we've lost a bit of the reverence that we need to have when we hear the word. They're all good thoughts. Any others? All right, let's go to the next one. Let's read Joshua 8:34 and 35. Afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before the assembly of Israel, and the women, and the little ones, and the sojourners who lived among them. And Nehemiah. And he read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the law, and they read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that people understood the reading. So, these are going to all, by the way, they're overlapping a little bit, but what is the sense that we're supposed to do with the word in from those texts?
Read it.
We're supposed to read it. Yes. Read it, which is like, duh, bro. Yeah, so, but reading it, and there's an element there, how much of it. My favorite book, I'm just going to really read Ephesians over and over and over and over and over and over again all of my life. There's an element of reading all of Scripture. So they're reading, and if you think about this, like, what if Pastor Dave got up at 10:15 from the start of the service and just read Scripture the entire time? No fellowship break, no snacks, no coffee. Just read the Word. How would we, I mean, if I'm being honest, how would I feel about that? But they, all day long, they read the whole Bible. Now there was only, there's not as much of the Bible there, but they're reading the whole entire law. All of the people of Israel listening. Reading the whole law, the whole Word of God. Nehemiah, same similar situation. They're reading it all day long, all morning long. They're reading the Word to the people. Why is that important?
Well, all Scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, reproof, and correction.
So all of the Word is given to us by God for a purpose, all of it. So if we're neglecting part of the Word, we are going to be malnourished in some way. And that's such an important question. I put in there twice. Just kidding, that was an accident. So, how do you, what are some practical ways that you read the Word, the whole Word?
I know a lot of people use a Bible reading plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so a Bible reading plan that takes you through all the Bible, right? There's dozens of them out there, readily accessible, free. You can get them on your phone, you can print them out, and all kinds of fun. So, Jason, were you going to say something?
Oh, same thing.
Yeah.
Bible in a year.
Yeah. This, whether it's like a chronological plan, or if there's where the there's plans where you're reading from 4, 5, 6 different places, a chunk from each place throughout the year, and you do it daily. There's 5-day-a-week plans. There's 7-day-a-week plans. There's all kinds of things, and I know you you know that. So there are many, many ways for us to read all of Scripture. So is there a wrong way to do that? What are maybe some pitfalls we want to avoid as we read all of Scripture?
You can go into it with the mindset that you're just going to check a box. Mm-hmm. When you read the Bible today, and you read it, like, okay, I'm done with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be a theme in all of the things that we talk about in growing in godliness. We can approach it like it's just a task to do on my list right before doing the laundry and after I brush my teeth. Like there's just, if we treat those things the same, we're not doing it right. And that doesn't mean that every time you read your passage, you're going to have some kind of mind-blowing epiphany from the Lord, and you're just going to be amazed. And, no, but there is a reverence for the Word that we need to have as we read His Word. And so, yeah, having a plan, approaching it to the best of your ability, praying all the time that God would help me to not treat this like, you know, tying my shoes. Anything else?
For me, I cannot read well, but you can listen to audio or a Bible reading on your app or something like that, and it will, you can listen to it and meditate it.
Right. And I think there's a thing, too, that we can also get bogged down on. If I have never read my Bible all the way through. I've never been on a plan, and I'm just kind of starting out, and I'm thinking, I'm going to choose, I forget what it was called. I did one this one year, where it's like 10 chapters a day. It's like the Horton plan or something like that. And so if you've never done that, and you're like, I'm going to do that one because I need to be godly, and you get in there, and you're just struggling through it, odds are you're not going to finish that. So not that you don't have that for a goal, being able to do that, but start in a way that you are going to ease your way into it. Always not going to be satisfied. If for example, like Josh is saying, if I struggle to read well, I'm not going to have as my goal just to be like, okay, I'm just never going to read it. And I'll just hear it and I'll just stay there. Maybe I'm going to read it while I'm driving. And then next, as I build up that endurance, not listen to it. Sorry, listen. Don't read and drive. I've seen if you were listening. Listen to it while you're driving to work. Like if that's where you need to start, then that's where you start. But having as a goal, like okay, I'm going to start to as I'm hearing it, I'm sitting down and I'm going to watch the words. I'm going to follow along. And we do need to be straining. That's that idea that Paul we talked about with Paul and Timothy. You're striving. You are straining, exerting yourself to grow in godliness. Part of that is going to be like pushing myself when, man, it's hard for me to read more than a chapter a day. So I'm going to read two. I'm going to strain and work. And maybe I'm reading those two and then I'm like, yeah, then I need to hear it for it. Whatever those kinds of limitations are for you, you got to push through some of them. Don't just be satisfied with, okay, I just have not ever been able to do, I guess I'm just kind of doomed to being at this level of, you know, Bible reading or scripture meditation. I just have never done it before, so I'm just going to, this is going to be how I just do things for the rest of my life. Now, there's a straining and a training that we are called to do for godliness. How do we grow in godliness? We have to be hearing the word and reading the word. So whatever you think you can do, okay, start there, but don't stop there. Push through, do it more than you think, a little bit longer than you think you can, or what you've been able to do before. Anything else, any other pitfalls that could happen as we read a Bible reading plan or working through scriptures in a year?
I think if you do the plan and then you get so far behind you feel like you can't catch up and then you quit. Mm-hmm. I think that's the pitfall of the plan sometimes. To have, you know, a bad week or whatever and it's like I'm never catching up.
Yeah.
And you don't. So you just gotta be okay to be behind and just keep going.
Yeah. There's not necessarily a commandment. Thou shalt not take more than a year to do a year reading plan. Right? So yeah. If it takes you another month to get just keep going. That's a great point. So don't quit. Don't quit on it. That is something else. If you're if it is something where like, okay, so maybe I need to find a different plan, but don't just quit reading the word. Yeah, so that's a good point.
A 2-year plan.
Yeah.
I love that catch me up button on the Bible app. Oh, I'm a little behind. Now I'm not. Keep going.
Yeah. I think you need to make sure you have a translation or a paraphrase that you're comfortable with too. Mm-hmm. You know, if you start out as a new believer or something in King James, mm-hmm. it may be a little tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Reading it multiple, and maybe this year you do in the New Living Translation, for example, and then next year you're going to do to the Pullman, or the, what do they call it now? It's not Pullman anymore. The Christian Standard Bible. That's what it is now. And then the ESV and the NASB. So you do a different translation. That's a great idea to do it in different translations. Excuse me. In the year. So that's another good point. I had another point, then I lost it. I don't know. All right. So, any other thoughts? Okay. Let's go to the next one. Ezra 7:10. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. My son, if you receive my words, and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom, and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight, and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver, and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. So what do we have to do here?
Study.
We study the word. Such a wonderful verse there in Ezra 7:10. I love that. He set his heart to study the law of the Lord so he can be impressive to all his friends. Oh, no, sorry. Wrong.
So inspired.
He set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach. This method's important. Why? Why do we need to study the word?
Like, the more you study the word, the more your conscience is going to align with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then the easier it is when you're making day-to-day decisions to recall what you've learned. Mm-hmm. It's not quite so hard to draw upon it.
Yeah. Yeah. The more you do it, the more you know the mind of God, the more the Spirit can conform your thinking to His. It's great. What else?
What's that, verse 5? Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of our foundation to be godly, understand Him, and fear Him.
Right.
If you're going to teach it, you better know what it says and understand it well, so you're not teaching it wrong.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a teacher, though. I don't know. I'll let those theologians and the pastors, I'll let them study the word. Why do I need to study the word?
You're supposed to share it with your children and other people, and
mm-hmm.
even though you're not a teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every one of us, as Christians, we need to understand the word. And that some of that doesn't come if I'm just reading it, just hearing it sometimes. I need to do my own study. I need to put in some work. When I study the word, there is a lot of just really fruitful and rich growth that I have because I'm looking at it more than just on the surface. Though on the surface, the scriptures are beautiful and wonderful, the more if we study and take time to think and consider the Holy Spirit inspired Matthew to write it that way. What was going on in the culture at this time when Jesus was walking the earth? Why was Isaiah so fired up about this? Like there's a lot of things that will give just a depth to our understanding of Scripture. And then just practically, when you talk to people, and they're like, well, I don't want to worship a God who would have Israel just kill all the people. That's just like, if you don't study the word, you don't know why God would say and do those things that He has done in Scripture. And then, what is your response to that going to be? I don't know. Maybe you don't have a response. Maybe you say a wrong response. Maybe you say something. Well, yeah, but in the New Testament, He's different. No, study your Bible. So, like, there's things like that we need to do as Christians to give a reason for the hope that we have, as Peter says. Jason.
To me, it's kind of you see a more perfect illustration of God's design. It's kind of like when you see a little kid and you tell him to draw an apple. They might draw a red circle, and then a year later you have him draw an apple. They might draw a slightly more apple-shaped blob with leaves. And then as you go forward and, like, let's say, you know, they study art and artistry and illustration and design, and eventually, through growth and through time, they're using more shades of red,
mm-hmm.
shades of green, shadowing, all of these things until
mm-hmm.
they have an apple that's almost, you know, lifelike, picturesque. And I think there's stories that I've read, there's lessons I've learned in the Bible that I will reread and learn more, and there's
mm-hmm.
more nuance, there's more subtlety then you understand the reason why these words were used. And it's just, you have to, it's that constant going back and restructuring. Gives you a better picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can know it more accurately. Very good. Any other things? How do you study the Bible?
Join a Bible study.
Yeah. It's one way that the church can come alongside and help is by facilitating those Bible studies, having good materials to go through, right? Very good. How else?
Good commentaries.
Mm-hmm. You can get good commentaries. You can get a good study Bible, right? So the MacArthur Study Bible, there's others out there that the ESV study Bible. There's study Bibles that help you to do a little bit more investigating. Okay, there's websites. Anybody use Precept Austin? Blue Letter Bible? Those are free resources. They have tons of stuff that you can go in to study. I think one of the things that we, going on to number 20, a wrong way that we might do this, just because I'm in a Bible study does not mean I'm studying the Bible. Like there's some, we have to be careful that I'm not checking that I'm studying the Word because I go to a Bible study. So that speaks to kind of how much preparation am I doing? Am I answering the questions before I go to Bible study? Or am I going and then I'm kind of hearing what other people say and I'm writing down their answers? Like, have I put prayer and thoughtful time and consideration into the lessons that we're going through in Bible study? So that would be an important thing to do. It's kind of to set some time aside to do that. Are there other pitfalls to studying the Word that we want to avoid? Wrong ways to study?
Studying for the purpose of knowledge only and not application.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can go to Bible studies and fill our minds with knowledge and then get arrogant that I know more than so-and-so. Yeah. Other ways?
I think sometimes you might have to intentionally put yourself in a position where you have to study it in order to be teaching it. Or have something to push you, because I don't think we normally, we're just going to dig in and study the Word just for ourselves. So
yeah.
Sometimes you have to push yourself to, if you're in a Bible study that everybody does their homework, maybe, and it's not a big deal or high standard, then I really want to do this, so I'm going to potentially go to one that's like, do your homework, and people hold you accountable or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like we're lazy. Studying is an extra thing, and we won't, or at least I won't do it unless I'm forced to by having to teach it or having to think through some theological issue because somebody, I know somebody's going through it, trying to help them with it. I don't know.
Yeah.
So.
And sometimes, having a purpose, and possibly that's a conversation that can happen in your Bible studies. Is, hey, are we doing the work? Are we coming with questions or thoughts in mind that we want to discuss? And normally that falls on the leader of that Bible study, but that can be something that we can all bring as part of our preparation. I need to be putting the time to answer the questions, but also thinking about the men who are in my Bible study. Like what might they bring, or what might they need me to study up on? Because I know we had this question about the end times, and now this here it comes again in our text this morning. So there's a lot of things that we need to be doing as we love our brothers and sisters in the Bible study with us as well. I want to make sure that I'm able to help if I'm needed. I want to do the reading so that not only am I nourished by that, which should happen if I'm doing it with the humility, but also I want to be able to help and teach clearly. Ezra did it so that he could apply it to his own life, and then he wanted to teach it to people. So there's always someone that's a little less knowledgeable than you. Right? There's always going to be someone in some context where you can teach the word. You gotta study it. Any other thoughts on that one?
So when you said you find a good commentary or a good study Bible, mm-hmm. I think one of the pitfalls there is that you, because I studied it because it's mine, it's right, and everybody else's opinion is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a, and I don't know if that is a possessiveness or a prideful thing that, you know, but this is what it says, so this is the right way, and you mm-hmm. can get excited about what you're studying to the point that you discount what everybody else has studied.
Right. Yeah, there is a tendency, I think, we get really loyal to a certain person or a certain commentary, and we can kind of defend that commentary more than we're trying to understand what the scripture really says, because no one commentary will have all the answers, right? So we know that. We got to be careful about, do I want to know the word and what it says, or do I want to know what MacArthur says,
mm-hmm.
right? So that I can fall into that trap. I love MacArthur. I love his work. And I also just know that I need to look at some other things as well. The other thing that I'll say along those lines is don't feel like when you have a question about something in Scripture that you have to figure that out yourself all the time. There can be a danger. And if I'm studying some theological thing and I'm doing it all by myself, and I'm not reaching out to Bible study leaders or the elders to get some perspective on this, it's possible that before you know it, you've gone so far off on this tangent that now you're joining the Catholic Church. I mean, that's kind of a joke, but it's kind of not. There is a trend. People are studying certain things, and they're only looking at certain resources and certain sources, and they're going and they're leaving the church. And they're deconstructing their faith. And way back here at the start, if they would have just asked someone, it was an easily explainable question. We could have studied it together. And you may not have made shipwreck of your faith.
It's especially easy to, with all that's available through the internet
mm-hmm.
and all the rabbit mm-hmm. trails you can go down, and mm-hmm. I mean, not everything out there is good
mm-hmm.
online.
I've been amazed at how believable people can look. We kind of joke about it, but when we talk about influencers, I just kind of chuckle. But I mean, there are people who really look like they know what they are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They sound really confident. They said a Greek word in there. They're doing all kinds of, like, they're talking about the early church fathers, and they're talking about all these things. I haven't read all that. They must know.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it happens in every field, right? I was just watching some YouTube videos on how to cut down the weeds in my yard. I have no idea if that guy knows what he's talking about. No idea. But I'm gonna try it because it's cheap. So now, but that, there's a danger in that, because not that danger to my grass, but if I apply this kind of, I'm just gonna go on YouTube or on Facebook or on Twitter, and I'm gonna find some expert who's gonna show me and teach me the right way to do X. Start doing that with spiritual things. There are all kinds of false teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And the closer that they are to the truth, the more dangerous they can be, because it sounds an awful lot like something Pastor Dave said. But then he just has this different application over here. Like, there are some dangerous things. So as you study, there is a wrong way to just be, it's on me, I've got to figure this out, I'm going to study this for myself. That is kind of in line with this individualistic, I'll do it myself, independence, autonomy, I'm the one who's going to do. And that can be dangerous, because we are blind to certain things, each of us. We need one another. as well. So one of the beauties of having a Bible study, when we have all studied together and we come together to talk about it, I have found that I had a wrong assumption about this. And my brother said something, and I said, oh, I completely took that the wrong way. And there's a sharpening and there's a helpfulness to, I've studied and now I'm still coming with humility, knowing that just because I think that this is what it says doesn't mean that's exactly what it has to say. Okay? Someone else has anything? Oh, Jack.
Yeah, and I think the other side of that is in a Bible study, making people feel comfortable to ask the question helps so that that does happen. You feel like you don't have to go in knowing it all. If you ask a question and the responses are harsh, make somebody feel stupid, then they maybe not ask a question again and try to figure it out on their own. So I think I need to learn that earlier on, that I can come across abrasive sometimes and feel like I need to defend something that I believe in, and can, you know, make people not feel comfortable asking a question.
Yeah. It's good. All right. Moving right along here. Psalm 119, verse 11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. A few verses later, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. What should we also be doing with the word?
Memorizing
the word. Why is it important to memorize scripture?
To keep up with the kids.
Keep up with the kids in the kids club. Right. Right. That's a good benefit.
I am impressed by the amount of scripture that those kids can memorize. And it's convicting sometimes. It's, oh, wow, they're able to commit all this to memory, and what am I doing?
Right.
If I don't, you know.
Right.
But so there, I'm a little bit serious, but also a little bit.
There is, yeah, when kids are memorizing scripture at Adventure Club, and we're like, wow, that's good job, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, that's good. It also can encourage us to do it. I think our minds are, I mean, God, by God's design, are able to do more than we think they are. We are able to learn more than we think, memorize more than we think. Now, there are certain ages, for sure, where it's easier for kids to memorize things. They come by it more quickly and more naturally. But it does not mean that at my age, you know, whatever your age is, that you can't memorize scripture. It just means that we need to, again, work at it and train our minds to do it. There's a lot of brain research that says that your brains are still, our brains can still be trained to do things even at old age. Older age. I'll let you supply whatever number you think that should be. But our brains are amazing. The Lord has given our brains the ability to continue to learn and continue to develop. How do you memorize scripture?
I found this really good app. It's called Versify. Have you heard of it?
I don't think so.
It's really good. Yeah. You can plug whatever in and whatever version you want, and then it just builds on it.
Mm-hmm.
You can just open it up and first start by reading it, and then you can start by filling the blanks, and then by the end you're just typing the first letter of each word, and it checks you and fails you or passes you, and gives you a score. But it's a good way to challenge yourself, you know, easily, kind of whenever.
Yeah. So there's apps that can do it, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Very good.
Also, obviously, you can do it with a fellow believer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. find a partner.
A white erase board, just saying it over and over again, mm-hmm. removing words.
Sure.
I think like having a Bible reading plan, having a plan for memorizing scripture is helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, having already identified these are the verses that I want to memorize this year, maybe this month, and then we can kind of work on it. And over the course of the summer, I want to memorize this. I think a crucial point in all of that would be to tell somebody. I make lots of plans, and if I don't tell anybody, I'm not going to do it, probably, right? Nobody's going to know that I didn't do it. Yeah, do you know if I didn't do my New Year's resolutions? No, you don't, because I didn't tell you. That's a problem, right? Now, so if I tell you, hey, I really want to memorize Romans 8. I really want to memorize the Sermon on the Mount. I want to memorize John 1, 1 through 3. There, if I tell somebody that, I say, hey, check with me in a week and see if I have forgotten or if I've slacked off. And there's the accountability is a big piece of that to help.
Working out with somebody at the gym helps people accountable to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
If you memorize along with them, both people are memorizing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Accountability is very key.
Yeah. Very good.
Because I'll not exercise.
So I've got grandkids and kids that did Bible quizzing. And our grandkids right now, my son has figured out a way to do it. That they are just memorizing books, not just verses, which is just really incredible,
mm-hmm.
but using all the senses. So they do color coding, they do for verse recall, they start at the bottom of the passage and work their way up,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't make any sense to me, but there's mm-hmm. something about that you'll remember the verse number that way. Anyway, there's lots of, but some people do it better by hearing,
mm-hmm.
and hearing it over and over. Some people do it by sight. So there's just,
mm-hmm.
and some, I was doing sign language for a while too, with the words that you couldn't do. So if you're putting actions to it,
mm-hmm.
there's, you know, you're using different senses because that makes, it helps,
mm-hmm.
it does help. And
yeah,
there's
quite a bit of really solid brain research that suggests that the more modalities that you do, if you can layer them on top of each other, you learn it better. So the gestures that you're talking about, visual and auditory, like the more that you can do on those things, doing it while you're doing certain movements, like that will help you learn it faster and learn it for longer, which is really interesting. There's a lot of, you reminded me, there's some research that where they did it with college students, and they were trying to memorize, I forget, it was like a paper, I think, or something. And so one of the practices that they tested was you have to memorize all of it, but they would practice reciting it in different orders, so out of order, and that caused them to remember it better for longer. So because if I just memorize it from the beginning to end, and I mess up right here, that throws off all the rest. But if I've memorized all of the pieces of it, and I've got a better map for what the whole totality of it is saying, it sticks in your brain better. So there's a lot of interesting things that we can learn from studies like that, and we can apply those to scripture memory. That's good. Any other thoughts on how you do that?
The Bible says, I forgot the reference, but it says, study to prove unto God, be a workman, not ashamed.
Mm-hmm. Rightly dividing the word
of God. Yeah, mm-hmm. word of God. I don't know. I forgot what the reference is.
That is in Timothy.
1 Timothy 2:15.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay. Yep.
When you said that,
Yeah, that's great. So, yeah, we want to be. There's an element of that where we'll be accountable to, did you study the word? God gives us the word, and it's everywhere. We can have it on our phones in about, you know, 50 different translations. We have hard copies. I think we have, I don't know how many Bibles we have at our house, hard copies of Bibles that we have, 20 plus. We have it. It's everywhere. We can access Scripture. And what are we doing with it? There's going to be an accountability. We want to be found faithful, found as people who approach the Word of God with the right amount of reverence and importance. That's a good point. Is there a wrong way to memorize Scripture?
Yeah, to use it as a weapon.
Okay. Yeah. So if I'm to memorize these verses so I can hammer that Arminian guy when we debate next, or I want to hammer some guy who's trying to make me do what the government says, I'm going to use this verse. Like, we can do that.
There's a wrong motive, but not a wrong way.
Right. Yeah. So that'd be, speak to your motives. Yeah. So for why are we memorizing Scripture? Very good. So we will stop there. Top of page 5 the next week. So go hear the word of God. Preach this morning. Thank you.